Welcome to Northeast Colorado Talks here on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR and KSIR.com. I'm Chris Brom. Our guest today, State Representative Dusty Johnson, joins us via telephone this morning. Good morning, Dusty. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Chris. Happy second day of spring.
That's right. Officially 2 days into spring now, and it's starting to get that feel to it, isn't it?
It is, and this is where we're in the weird spot of Colorado where it can be very cold in the morning, warm in the evening, or vice versa.
Yeah, we can cover most of the seasons in the span of about 24 hours.
See, there we go. You can just live all of the seasons in one day and then start over.
There you go. Well, it kind of feels that way sometimes up at the state capitol. You guys kind of go from one extreme to the other, from one day to the next.
Yes, and the running joke is time doesn't really exist here, because what we do in the morning could be very good or very bad, and then you're in committee and it's the opposite. And if you have someone say, what did you think of floor work this morning, and the emotions switch so much based on what's happening that it's very hard to say, oh, that was this morning and not last week.
There you go. Yeah, well, I know one thing in particular that a lot of folks have been keeping an eye on, and something that is up today on the floor is the gun bill that's been making its way through the state legislature. So kind of give us an update on that. What's the latest in that regard?
Yeah, and for the few that are not aware of it, I'm sure especially in Northeast Colorado, they've heard about it. This is the Semi-Automatic Firearms and Rapid Fire Devices Bill. Senate Bill 3. We are hearing it on second reading today. It went through Judiciary in the House. It went through Finance in the House. It went through Appropriations in the House. It keeps getting uglier with every single amendment that they decide to add on to it. So we're calling it the Frankenstein Bill. And it's now in the second of the House. This is where we're going to have to stay on the line. Usually if you can't get it killed in seconds, it kind of tells what's going to happen on thirds with the way things are going this session. Very outrageous, stupid, unconstitutional bill that's going to add a huge fiscal note. And we're in a budget year. We are in a year that we're having to cut everywhere. And it is ticking me off that we're cutting for rural mental health out here. We're not talking about road repairs out here. We are taking some of the cuts off of our seniors and our students. But we can do a giant fiscal note in the millions that is going to make us have to cut other places. And this fiscal note is going to go against our constitutional right.
So given the fact that it's made it to this point, all signs seem to point to it being a bill that is likely going to pass. Is that my understanding?
The realist in me says yes. The optimist in me thinks that we can get, especially in the freshman class on the Democrat side, because the Republicans will be all strong and no against this. We think we can get enough. We're hoping we can get enough, but especially because the bill that was going to ban or highly regulate gun shows passed by barely 4 votes. So the fact that we were able to get that bill almost killed gives us some hope, but we're very much planning, plan for the worst and hope for the best.
And again, as you mentioned, this bill is fairly aggressive in terms of what it aims to do. And I would imagine that plays a role into getting some of those votes to sway the other direction.
Yes. And we're going to try. I'll have some amendments today trying to point out what little common sense we have in the Capitol. If you have a hunter's education course, you're already educated in this. Why do you have to go through the extensive training? Trying to point out the fact that for your First Amendment right, you don't have to take a special class. You don't have to get approved by the government. For any of your other rights, you're allowed to do those without extra education, without having to go beg government to allow you to do it. So why are we saying we need to do more stringent? Because we already have concealed carry. I think that's unconstitutional, but we have it. But we're now going worse than that, saying we have to do so many classes that maybe you can't afford, you don't have time for, you're not going to understand how to apply. Why do we have to be government just to have one of our rights? And so we're going to try to point that out. We're going to have a whole bunch of amendments trying to point out the fact that firearms are used for livestock protection because they just introduced wolves. We're going to point out the fact that we want them to take this to a petition if they really think the people want it, instead of just running it by a select 100 few. So we're really going to hit and nail for many, many hours late into the night, maybe early into the morning, trying to drive home everything to try to say, hey, do you understand where we're coming at this point, and very much breaking it down.
When you look at where things stand right now, what would be the next step after this second reading? Obviously, like you said, there's still a third reading to go. So then where does it go from there?
Third reading, we will do the same battle. Afterwards, it goes to the governor's desk. He is most likely signing it, and then we take it to the courts. And we hope it can get held up in the courts. With how unconstitutional it is, we just need to make sure that we start, you know, fundraising efforts so we have those court funds and keeping the battle up in a way that most people can participate at that point, as opposed to just the 100 that we have under the Gold Dome.
So, in other words, a long road yet to go before this is before anything's really decided at this point.
Correct. And that could be based on county. We are blessed out in Northeast Eastern Plains that we will hold this while it's in the courts. I can't say the same for Denver. If they'll say, well, the state said it, and until the courts say we can't, we're going to run with it. So it's very much going to split even more, that urban-rural divide especially.
All right, Dusty, on top of all of that, what are some other things that that you've been working on of late?
Yeah, so mentioned we said, you know, it's kind of like the seasons up here. This is very bad. Our focus is here. It's not all gloom and doom. Most of it is, but we got some wins. Senator Rod Pelton and I had an irrigation district bill, SB 25140. It just passed the House this week, and it's on its way to the governor's desk. This means that we are going to allow irrigation districts to be able to account for inflation changes. We have not done that for over 20 some years because we're following statute from 1905. And we haven't updated that for, you know, we updated every once in a while, but these statutes have not been updated for at least 20 years since the last revision. And so this just allows for that ongoing inflation update without needing to come to the state, which is very much crucial for irrigation districts, especially in rural Colorado. I had Morgan County District reach out to me yesterday saying this solves the issue. It is so great when we can solve an issue and allow for special districts, especially when it comes to water and water infrastructure, to do what they need to without having to beg to the state all the time.
So what does that mean for them when you say account for inflation? That means they can alter rates based on inflation?
Yes. Yeah, because we're seeing a lot of crumbling infrastructure. So this will allow for these separate irrigation districts to adjust their own rates and their own fees. And their fees are not the ones that circumvent Tabor. They're actually the fees to do the work they need to get, you know, the boots on the ground, to update the infrastructure, to keep the infrastructure. We talk about water storage and, you know, what's out here. We're crumbling in that, and it's hard to do when they don't have the means to do it. So just allows them, yeah, to adjust the fee rating scale based on where we are in inflation and the economy, just so they can continue doing that work.
Very cool stuff. Well, like you said, it's a good opportunity to maybe cut some of the red tape and give those organizations an opportunity to get the work accomplished that they need to.
Yes, and that's where, I mean, we've had that win. I think we talked about this a while ago, too. Another bill that's going to make it to the governor's desk is to cut red tape on permitting, to actually reduce fees at the statewide level when we look at, well, when they come back every 10 years and say, are you still using it, or are we going to close it? We're just going to help speed that up. So it is a very weird year that we're actually getting wins for water, and wins for water in rural areas, but it's very something that is actually we are winning in.
Well, that's a welcome sign. Like you said, not something we always see a lot of, so that's certainly a positive sign, right?
Yes. Yeah, and we have to take what we can for the positives, especially because this has been a bipartisan effort of at least the freshman class, who is kind of leading their other side a little bit, of educating, say, we don't understand water. And the great thing is, when they don't understand something, their knee-jerk reaction is a yes vote. At least when we're the ones bringing forth the ideas in rural Colorado saying we understand it best, please trust us on this, it's working in our favor. And as long as we're running the water bills, it doesn't give them time to run them, and we're not having that urban water taking control.
Very cool stuff indeed. Well, never a shortage of things to keep you guys hopping. Like you said, you've got a full day today with the gun bill that's up for second reading, and I'm sure plenty more bills before it's all said and done.
Yes, And I am very much looking forward to, now we'll keep the fight up. I promise everyone I'm your workhorse. I will stay here as long as they need us to keep fighting this. And as long as they're continuing to allow us to talk on this, we will be here. But excited to be in Sterling tomorrow. We have the meet-in day. And so very much looking forward to being back in district and having some time to just relax without having to feel on edge where I have to fight all the time up here.
Yeah, good day to maybe get away and get a little rest and relaxation in and enjoy what has become quite the event here in Northeast Colorado.
Yep, and it's the perfect week. One thing I forgot to tell you before we got on air is we actually had an FFA resolution unanimously approved on Monday. We had Ag Day on Tuesday. We had Farm Bureau here on Wednesday. We had the Logan County Cattlewomen feed us steak yesterday. And now we get the meet-in day on Saturday. It's been a great educational week when it comes to agriculture.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that sounds like a whole week full of ag.
Yes, it was definitely my kind of week. And the exciting thing was a lot of my colleagues, at least temporarily, hopefully it sticks, were realizing farmers and ranchers mean food, not grocery stores are where the food is made. So they were slowly making that connection as they enjoyed it. I'm hoping that connection sticks. Continuing to educate them, but they were very grateful for where their food came from this week.
It still boggles my mind that here in 2025, folks still don't have a full grasp of where food actually comes from.
No, but the best ones actually, and we had 4-H resolution earlier this year. If we can get some of our rising stars, our young leaders who are in agriculture, they will listen to the youth more than they'll listen to anybody. And the youth is our generation, so we're starting to figure out that they will learn more from our youth than they will from others. And as long as we keep honing in that because it's working, I think we're gonna start seeing some of this bridging.
That's always a positive sign, and good to see that the youth are making some inroads because they're the ones we're going to have to rely on.
Yes, and allowing them to have that space, and as long as we don't overtalk them and allow them to have the spotlight, we're going to be in good hands.
Without a doubt. Well, Dusty, thank you so much for the time today. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, so we'll let you get back to it. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing you in Sterling tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good Friday, everyone, and see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Once again, State Representative Dusty Johnson, our guest here on Northeast Colorado Talks on Farm Radio 1010 KSIR. And, of course, streaming online at KSIR.com.